Hello, everybody. I must have jumped in here ahead of Cody today. So I'm Cody Haley, and I'm here to support the Friday Weirdos. But we're missing your main man. Where is he? Hi, Linda. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving, those who were celebrating anyway. Of course, I'm in Ireland, and hi Terry. So we don't celebrate it here, but I'm all about a big turkey day or a happy celebration feast any old time. So, I enjoyed the day off anyway. Oh, this is looking awesome. Gosh, we got California, Michigan, Colorado. Is there anyone here in the group so far? Ooh, the duck was delicious. Oh, that's yummy. Anybody who is not from the United States, is there anybody on call outside from outside the United States? Tennessee. Snowy Colorado. Lawrence is from Canada. Laurence or Lawrence? Laurence Ledier, is that right? North Dakota. Oh, hey, look who's here. It's Cody,
What's
another
up?
weirdo.
Let's see. We also got, well, we got one more
Else
Friday
we got?
weirdo joining us. Then we got Brandon this morning.
Brandon.
There he is. There he is. Let me
Brandon.
participants.
Pardon
Let me
me.
see. More. Promote to panelist.
A bit of a runny nose. So we've been back in Ireland for a couple of weeks after being in Greece for 6 months and just getting used to the rain again.
How much rain are we talking? Like, it's like, what's
Well,
normal?
we live in County Fermanagh, so which is the rainiest county in Ireland, but it's to me, it's the most beautiful as well. And it's the only county that also has a rainforest. And it's a tremendous place to be. So it's lovely, but it rarely gets like really cold. And that heavy, like North American spank your head raindrops. You don't really get those here. It doesn't happen very often. It's always just drizzle or a soft day. It's just a soft day.
I love rainy weather.
Ireland has a
Comforting.
rainforest?
County Fermanagh. Look it
Wow. Learning something new every day. That is cool. Let's see. All right. Let's begin. Brandon, did you have a good holiday? I don't know, like Canada already, there's like October. Thanksgiving is like October. You're like, we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
So day off yesterday was stellar.
Amazing.
Good. Haley, what about you?
Anthony and I just hung out. We got some stuff out of storage and we had other things to do. It was nice. Just a chill day. No plans, just
Good deal. Oh,
best
crud. I just
days.
lost the slides. One second. Okay, now we're back in action. Good. Hope you're well rested because we got a lot of questions. A lot of
Okay.
questions.
I'm just going to
Six.
sit here and drink tea and watch Brandon answer all the questions because he's
Good
all like super trained and
deal.
fresh meat.
Too much pressure, guys.
And I need one more thing. We got
My
a lot of We got a lot
sister's
of
birthday is
titles
on.
and book covers today too,
Oh,
surprisingly.
that's great.
I like
You guys are
covers.
prepared.
My sister's birthday was on Canadian Thanksgiving, and my brother's birthday was yesterday. So every year that happens, and then it's always like, yeah, Thanksgiving about me.
Exactly. All right. Now I've got everything. Sorry I kept everyone waiting. We are about to rock and roll. slides. Welcome, everyone, to your Friday Q&A call. I'll be co-hosting with myself, Haley, and Brandon today, answering all of your burning publishing questions. And could not be more excited about that. I see there's a question from Wendy in the chat. Wendy, throw that in the Q&A box so we can answer that. Should be at the top or bottom of your screen. We will have a... First, we're going to hit pre-submitted questions first. So questions that you submitted on the AIA dashboard, looking at this graphic right here where it says ask it here, we're going to answer those first, as long as they're publishing related. If you asked a support-related question, didn't include in this slide. We will have some special segments today where we have quite a few titles and some book covers to look at, which I'm pretty excited to actually help students at least get 10% in the right, better in the right direction. Can't always guarantee it, but we'll do the best we can with the information we're given. And then we're opening it up to your burning publishing questions for those who are here live on the call. We already have someone who submitted the very first question in the Q&A box. You could be number two. Why not be number two? And so we'll hit that at the latter half of the call. And just for your information, we will be focusing on the best questions that help the most students to hear the answer. So if you have a special snowflake question, we're probably going to save that for the end if we have time. We typically have time, but not always. If you, speaking of those questions we want to answer, if you have a question for support, you need to take that to support. At help.publishing.com is where you can actually get the help you need. There should be a chat widget also there that you can contact support directly. It looks like a chat, as in like someone's going to be responding to you immediately. It will not happen, right? Sometimes it does, because you just catch a support rep at the right time, but typically they're helping somebody else. So give it some time before, you know, you freak out and, 8 hours have passed and you're like, no one's answering my question. This is a scam. You're all frauds. Thanksgiving isn't real. And you're like, it's absolutely real. Absolutely delicious. And yes, support is there to help you. Just give it a little bit of time to answer your question, right? If you need an immediate answer, search for it. Like, we have like help docs and all kinds of stuff. Like, typically you can search for it. Lastly, change your chat settings from host and panelist to everyone. Otherwise, it's just going to be myself, Haley, and Brandon seeing it, and we might miss it in the chat. Well, Haley won't. She's on top of everything. But me and Brandon absolutely will. We do have a discount code. Brandon, can you tell them about the discount code?
That's the one for Urban Writers, correct?
Publishing services.
There we go. So AIA students on the Q&A call gets a monthly discount. Make sure you're using it this month. It's a monthly coupon, right? So if you want to do something next month, we're going to have another Q&A, another coupon. But take advantage of it. It's the end of the year. If you can get another book out there, we're going to have 10% off the editing and the proofreading there. Plus free formatting, which is amazing.
Yeah, that'll save you $67 to $100 right off the bat, just getting pre-proof or formatting into the mix. So if you're in that stage, consider doing that. Now, it is not like super cheap to get really good editing done. But if you feel like your book needs an extra layer of polishing by a professional editor, this is actually worthwhile. Lastly, we're having another round of free coaching calls next week. Now, the dates on the slides are not correct, except for, let's see, the 30th, it looks like. And then potentially, because the 24th we had this morning. But next week, Thursday and Friday, at the same time, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. EST, we'll have free coaching calls for AI students during that two-hour block. So if you show up in that two-hour block using this Zoom link that I'm going to throw in the chat for you guys. There you go. Add that to your calendar so you don't forget. And show up. We'll have like somewhere between three and four coaches ready to give you free coaching calls. They are our new and up and coming coaches. And we allowed them to get a lot of experience coaching, more than they would normally get. But then you as an AI student get a free coaching call with a coach. So it's a win-win for us and for you. But if you don't show up, no one wins. So add that to your calendars, 10 a.m., 12 p.m. EST. Thursday and Friday of next week. Use that Zoom link. See you there. All right. With that, let's get started. Haley, are you ready for the first question?
Yes.
Brandon, are you ready for the first question?
Oh, yeah.
People of the chat, my Friday weirdos, are you ready for the first question? Linda's ready. And if Linda's ready, I'm ready. All right, first question. Going to, oh, good luck, Haley. That one's a monster.
Caitlin. Hello, coaches. Can I please get some feedback for the book titles I'm trying to decide on? I have a few options and I've included them down below. Thank you much. The Art of Anger Management for Toddlers, The Harmony Handbook, Positive Parenting Tips and Managing Tantrums for a Stress-Free Home, The Art of Toddler Anger Management, Mastering Calming Strategies for Positive Parenting and Stress Reduction, Beta, The Art of Toddler Anger Management, Little Storms, Big Hugs, Unlocking Swift Secrets to Calm Parenting, Managing Emotions and Positive Development for Your Child. And finally, excuse me, The Art of Toddler Anger Management, Unlocking the Swift Secrets to Calm Parenting, Managing Their Emotions and Positive Development for Your Child. So I'm guessing then your proof of concept keywords are anger management for toddlers. Is that correct, Caitlin? Are you here? Because if that's excellent. So if that's the case, then boom, we have that in the main title. That's great. And the Harmony Handbook. That sounds nice, but with the art of anger management for toddlers as well, then the Harmony Handbook is just a little bit too much extra. Positive parenting tips and managing tantrums. And see, we try to avoid the redundancies here, Caitlin, because we've got management for toddlers and we have managing down here in the subtitle as well. So what I'm seeing from all of these ones that you have here is that you need to mix them up a little bit. So ensure that you have the toddler anger management in your title. And see, this is Mastering Calming Strategies for Positive Parenting and Stress Reduction. That in itself, it's to the point. There's no redundancy. You have the keywords in the main title, and then you have your hat trick of keywords, the Mastering Calming Strategies for Positive Parenting and Stress Reduction. So that technically is there, but it still needs a bit of a boost. So go to your customer research and draw on the three keywords that address your pain points and your benefits the very best, and then make that a really solid hat trick in your subtitle.
Yep. I think that's great. I think definitely with that mastering calming strategies, like,
yeah,
that's what they want. You have a kid that's losing their mind, right? Because they're angry about something or having a tantrum or whatever else. Like, It's the opposite of calm. So you definitely want calming strategies. I think it might be coming down to like weighing the difference between, do you want positive parenting or is positive child development more important? You know, like, because you probably wouldn't say both because you don't have a lot of real estate with your subtitle, but like almost saying which one's more important. It may be more positive parenting is more important, or maybe positive child development, which is what you have in the last one. So, but I think if you absolutely follow what Haley just suggested and take that one that was the most pinpointed to your target market, and then moving into going look at your competitors, and then I would probably, and I think Greg definitely has a good point here. He says like you can drop mastering, you can get rid of all the fluff language and just add it back in the end if it's needed, but typically you can do really well by getting rid of like at the bottom you have unlocking the Swiss secrets too, all that's just filler language, right? Now, you could say, well, I'm trying to let them know that it's fast. Yes, that's cool. You can let them do that, but you can do that with less words. So you're on the right track. And then once you actually draft out some more titles, you have to come back and let us know how you did, right? So we can help you again, because that's how you end up with a really great title. Second question, moving over to Brandon. Brandon, take it away.
All right, for Julie here, my main title, Emotional Intelligence Survival Kit for Every Day. My subtitle, The Quick Guide to Emotional Intelligence, Supercharged Resilience, Self-Awareness, and Communication Without the Struggle. Do I still need to go back to Module 3 and improve on anything or completely start over? All right. So main title, first thing that I noticed is Emotional Intelligence Survival Kit for Every Day. It might be for every day, but for who, right? Emotional intelligence is very different for a business person versus someone that's like lacking it in relationships, in friendships, right? If you do something that's very general, you won't be necessarily speaking to a specific person, and it might be hard to target them a little bit more there. Regarding the subtitle, now I see some students put this colon in there. Can people see my mouse right now or no? Cody?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, now I know not to point that stuff. So right after
you can
the...
use the annotate feature if you want to, like,
oh, true.
Underline and circle stuff. You can absolutely do that.
Let me get that this right here. So the thing is when you upload this, they're automatically going to put one over here, Amazon. So if you leave this in your subtitle, you're going to have two of these semicolons. I think that's what they're called, right? And that's just going to create a disconnect. It won't read well. It looks a little bit weird. It just feels like you might be fitting some stuff over in there. But so the subtitle definitely needs a little bit more work. Supercharged resilience, self-awareness without the struggle. Yeah, we need to get a little bit more focused in there, into the pain points, into the benefits, essentially the same things that we went over with Haley's question back then. And if Cody, if you have any more questions, if any more suggestions there?
No, I think that's exactly it. Like, we just want to be, you know, there's one thing to say, like, communication yeah. without the struggle, but there's another thing to, like, articulate what the struggle is, that the target market mm-hmm. reads it and they go, oh yeah, that's exactly what my struggle is. Right. Versus like having them complete that sentence in their mind of what they struggle with. If you can articulate it for them, they're going to already feel like, oh, this person gets me. Like this person gets it. And that's going to be a huge win when it comes to like marketing your book in that sense.
Mm-hmm. So I think. Yeah, dig a little bit deeper.
Do you need to start over? I don't think so. Like, but do we need to change some things to make it better? Absolutely. And then mm-hmm. you've got a lot of time to do that, because you can literally be modifying it and thinking about it and chewing on it between now and the end of module or mid module 5 where you're launching your book. Like, you got some time. Question from Jason. Jason says, with the coach's help, I have narrowed down my first 30K book cover design to these choices from 99 designs. I have some minor subtitle tweaks to make, however, between these two options, which do you prefer, especially taking color into account? I do plan to make both titles capitalized. This is my Google Doc and 99 Design poll link. They both look at the same two designs. Thank you. Gotcha. Okay. Let me exit full screen. And we're going to go to this Google Doc. All right. Here we got one. I'm trying to move all these Zoom faces out of the way. Conquering effective communication. Wow. Oddly enough, I kind of really like that graphic. It is fun and cute. Like, that's, I like it. They used the quotations and made a face out of it. Like, it's pretty cool. Let's see.
I just realized they were quotations, actually.
But yeah, I do like yeah, it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like apostrophes or whatever else. Let's see. I don't know, guys. What do y'all think? White or?
I like white.
Okay. And he's going to go out all caps with the title. So the all title is going to change a little bit, because I think you could. Oh, yeah. Okay. I definitely like this title better. Mm-hmm. I like the all caps way, way better. Now, I am concerned with how potentially the all white might look like with an all white Amazon background. So that is something to consider. I think it'd be worthwhile to go through the process of like, take a screenshot of, well, the books come up on your niche and then put yours over one of them in like a Google presentation or in Canva and just see how does the white look with the rest of the white and see which one looks better. But honestly, I like both of these. I am, even having said all that, I'm kind of leaning toward the white a little bit. Haley, Brandon, what do y'all think?
Yeah, I like the white as well. We saw this on the Q&A the other day, and this looks so much better. I'm not a big fan of white covers, but I think this one is effective. And I think even a very fine black border going around would just make it pop.
Could be.
You want to keep it clean and simple.
Either way, the fact that we're sitting here going, orange, white, everything else looks great. Like, well done. Well done. Like, it's a good cover. It's very, it's simplistic. It's not overpowering with the image versus the title and whatever else. Yeah, I am leaning toward the white more often. Yeah, the more I look at the white, the more it's more it
pops a little bit better.
Cool. All right. Good point, Greg. He did say he was doing tweaks to his subtitle, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, and that's good. I would twist the bubble as well.
Which way?
In, so that the text is coming into the book at an angle rather than
good point. That was a good ad. All right, I'm just going to take this one real quick. Dean says, I hear about KDP but can't find out how to sign up. KDP.com, my dude. Google it and you'll find it, no doubt. But it's KDB.com. It's where we publish books. All right, Haley, take it away.
Evelyn, hi, coaches. I just finished my 3K book, my 30K book, I'm assuming. I feel great about it. However, as you know, it's too close to the holidays. I'm waiting to get my ISBN from the Canadian government, but it'll take 10 days. I'm thinking to push through with a free online generated one, and in 10 days, reload with the new legit number. All this time, I'll expect zero sales, but at least I'll be able to give reviewers a link to their verified reviews. What do you think? Thanks for your input. Evelyn, don't rush. I mean, it's great to get it out there because you're so close. But unless it's all done properly and it's out before maybe the 5th of December, then it's better to wait until January. You know, if you can have all of this done comfortably and you have your review list like really optimized for that first week in December, before that first week in December, then that's ideal. Otherwise, just wait until January, build your review list, wait for the ISBN that you've ordered, and then rock it in January. That would be my take.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine. I think just wait on the ISBN, get it published. You can still, once your ISBN's ready and you load it, you can just do a soft launch, just letting your early reviewers know that it's available, so you can start leaving reviews. You're going to have to follow up with them anyway, quite a bit. You know, some of them will leave a review immediately, some of which you'll have to tell them like 4, 5, 7 times to remind them to actually do it. And that's okay. And then just kind of like no stress your way go into the launch of your book. And congratulations, by the way, to getting your first 30K book done. That's awesome. Second question from Evelyn, heading over to Brandon. Brandon, take it away.
Evelyn again. Hi again, dear coaches. I wrote a food trivia for Serious Foodies years ago, and I'm thinking of doing a 7-day challenge. However, it wouldn't let me in. Is that a part of the accelerator program? If so, how can I learn the ins and outs of doing it in 7 days? Your input is appreciated. So the 7-day challenge is not part of the accelerator program. You should have access, but Cody, can you?
She may have to sign up for. She may have to sign up for a success call, which typically unlocks the 7-day challenge. And so it's the success call. You can, I think you go into module one and then you can register and sign up for a success call. That's where they're going to present to you the publishing accelerator. But either way, I would still jump on that to get access to the 7-day challenge. So then you can start it. So then you don't even, you get to do it, right? Now you can learn the ins and outs of the 7-day challenge. And you can rock through that. Here's the secret, though. You can do it in a day, right? So it doesn't, it's 7 days. It's like, oh, gosh, that's way too fast. Like, no, you can do it even in a day if you dedicate to it. And it sounds like you already have material for it. Then it maybe a day sounds more accurate. Maybe 2 days and you'll be good to go.
Can I add to that, Brandon?
Sure.
You know, Evelyn, if you need to wait for your ISBN from the Canadian government, right, for your other book, this is the one that you can move forward with, right? Complete this one, get it published, and then upload it to Pubby and be building reviews on Pubby for your other main book, you know, or building snaps on Pubby for your other main book before you launch in January.
100%. Mm-hmm. Cool. My chat was being funky. Question from Boyd. Boyd says, I signed up in January of this year, not Accelerator, and was offered 4 coaching calls, of which I've used 2. Great. I'm trying to set up another call and only see Accelerator coaching calls available on my dashboard. Interesting. Can you tell me how I can sign up for my 3rd coaching call? Okay. Good question, Boyd. Funny enough, the people who do the AIA coaching calls are Accelerator coaches. So nothing's wrong. Like, we don't have AIA coaches anymore. It's just publishing Accelerator coaches. But they're the ones who still do the legacy coaching calls for AIA students. And so if you're like, I just see Brandon, and it was, I think, Yasmin and Christopher, but they're PA coaches. No, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. Sign up with them. Get on their call. It'll most likely be Brandon because he's taking up a lot of them, and he's going to help you get you exactly what you need to whatever comes next in your publishing journey. Mel, this is an interesting question. Haley, I'm going to hand this one to you.
Mel, why is the total number of reviews for my book not going up when another review is showing on the listing? Well, sorry, there's a couple of things here, Mel. The reviews may not be a verified purchase review. It could be somebody who's just leaving a review for your book. Maybe somebody gave them the book and they're just leaving a review on it. In which case, if they didn't buy it, they can't leave a verified purchase review. So it's only going to come up as a rating. Another thing is that it may not just be showing up yet, right? Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And then the other thing is, if somebody bought your book, let's say they bought your book on amazon.co.uk, and then they left their review either on .co.uk or maybe .ca, then it's not going to show either. And sometimes
it'll show at the bottom, right? It'll go, yes. It'll be like international reviews. So you can just keep counting and be like, I should have 8, but it's only showing 7, but I got 8. It's probably an international review.
I think so.
Could very well be the case. Good question, Mel. If you have more context for that and would like to bring it back to us in a Q&A call, I'd love to know. Because Amazon has been changing even the way they display reviews, where I've seen some books actually labeled with their Goodreads review count, which I thought was very interesting, that they would actually show Goodreads reviews from a completely different platform.
Ooh.
And then they would show... Oh, there was something else that changed a little bit that I've seen on some books, but not all books. So I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to do, if they're just testing some things out, but they are changing some review things. So it could be a sense of some new policy they're putting in place, but we're not entirely sure what that looks like yet.
Public service announcement to come.
Yeah, we'll find out. Either find out from Amazon or we'll find out secondhand just from experience. All right, cool. We got some book covers from Kitty today on Metapause and Beyond. Let's see. Exit full screen.
I'm beyond.
Are you beyond?
I'm beyond.
Beyond.
So glad.
That's great. All right. Oh, yeah. How many do we have here? Okay. We got 8. I was like, please don't be a doom scroll. All right, let me move faces out of the way. All right, we got Metapause and Beyond. We got The Ticking Hourglass. That's always fun to see. Different women, but actually real photos of women. We've got several graphic images. We've got an artistic flower of, I'm assuming, the ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then more of a stock image with flowers, which I probably would not recommend going with because I feel like I've seen that image before and would not recommend going that route. Oddly enough, I'm kind of going with the flowers, to be honest. I think it's just subtle enough and feminine enough to kind of like, it says it all. I don't know. Haley, what do you think? Brandon, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that as well. The image on the bottom left, I've seen recently. But I do like the subtlety of number 11. Yeah, and I would generally bypass frou-frou. And I think that's nice.
Ah, interesting. All right, good. I don't think number 22 is worthwhile. I don't think if you took away the title of the book and just have a picture of a rendition of Snow White singing to a bird outside of her cottage window, doesn't quite hit home that this is a book about menopause. Same thing for the girl coming out of the jungle, the very vibrant red and purple and yellow leaves. I think the lady in front of the fan going through, I guess, a hot flash is on point, but it just doesn't look like a professional photo that I would put on a book necessarily. And so I'm kind of really leaning toward number 11.
Me too. I think the menopause and beyond needs to be a different color text, though.
Something a little bit more, like the pop a little bit more.
Yeah, not pink.
Yeah, okay. So let's see what Alex_82 can do with some different color schemes on that. And then go from there. The background color, Lawrence, is a bit bland. I don't know if that's because it's like because of the glasses or whatever else, but the flowers, trying to kind of stay in that lane. But I'm pretty sure Alex could probably give you some like different versions of that book cover and see which one's the best.
Mm-hmm. And reduce that author name a bit.
Ah, good catch. Good catch.
It's a beautiful author name, but it's not what people are going to be typing into the search. They're not looking for that name yet. And so it's overpowering the subtitle a little. So
I wonder if there's a way, because beyond is humongous, but the book is about menopause, right? Menopause ends up being a smaller word. And it is because they're trying to box in and frame in the main title.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's a way to make that less subtle and make menopause bigger and stand out more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Thank you for letting us see those. That was awesome. Always looking at book covers. Moving on. All right, Brandon, take it away.
Next up, we got Paulette. Happy Friday, coaches. Based on your experience and what you've heard from the many students and other publishers you talk to, which approach do you think tends to have better results as far as finding a great ghostwriter on the Urban Writers who does well with your specific project? Number one, browsing the many pages of the Urban Writers to find those with preferred niches, writing samples, and bios that seem to fit your project, and then taking an initiative to message them and invite to your project if the conversation goes well, ? Or two, wait until several writers apply to your project and then chat with them and choose the one that seems to be the best fit. Thank you for your advice. I recommend both options, really, right? See what comes in, but also go out there and try to find someone that you think can really crush it in this niche, right? So I think both are great strategies to execute at the same time.
Yeah, because you're going with you're going to have to open it up to writers anyway, right? So number two is almost like a given, and it's more of a passive approach. You're just like, all right, writers, you come to me, those who are actively searching for their next project. And the first one is you being more active in the sense of going out and searching for a potential candidate for your, and letting them know in advance, like, hey, I'm interested in you applying for my job. Are you available and or interested? So Brandon, 100%, I agree 100%. I would do both.
Yeah.
Haley, anything different that you would approach that with?
No, I agree with that. You know, let everybody get in and apply for the job, right? You're headhunting. Some people are going to see the advertisement and apply for the job, and other ones you're just going to say, hey, come in and apply for this. So it's great. Then you can interview everybody.
Y'all don't know this, but Haley is an HR extraordinaire, even though she is a coach. We opened up Haley, just to give context, how many applications did you go through for a position at publishing.com?
There, for that particular position, there were over 8,000
applications. And I'm pretty sure Haley got through all of them before she even ate breakfast.
Wow.
Right. Now that's an over-exaggeration of it, but like she crushed it. Like like she's when it comes to like not maybe not headhunting, but like going through applications and doing interviews or getting prep for positions, like Haley is the one to go to for sure.
Ah, geez.
Speaking of which, Haley, take this one.
Luba. Hi, coaches. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm a bit confused about puppy abuse meaning. Is it related to the amount of puppy abuse meaning? Is it related to the amount of reviews we leave for other books per week or to the amount of reviews we request for our own book per week? For example, if I would have 30,000 snaps accumulated over the months by leaving 2 to 3 reviews per week after uploading my first low content book, could I use all 30,000 snaps to get reviews for the full content book as soon as it's published all at once, like 25 to 28 reviews all at once? Thanks. So yes, that's why we say do it, right? Use your low content or your 7-day challenge book to build those snaps. And you want to garner as many of those snaps as you can. So you don't put them all up for review on the same day, but just, you know, roll it out a little bit, right? You don't want to go, boom, you know, I have 25 in one day. Roll it out in a week because you want to show on Amazon too that it's generating reviews each day. Oh, look, and there's 3 more today and 3 more today. And so you can just do it that way. Where you don't want to abuse Pubby, and Pubby's got your back because they know what Amazon's parameters are and when Amazon is going to raise a red flag. So if Pubby is saying to you, stop reviewing so many books per week, it's because they know that Amazon is going to do a smackdown. So I would say always take a day break between doing reviews on Pubby. You shouldn't really do more than 3 per week. Some people do more. If you can read, you know, 30,000 word book in a day, then that's great. I know a lot of people fly through it or are speed readers, but the premise is that you're reading the whole 30,000 word book. Even if you're not, you still have to present it in that way. So protect yourself and know that Pubby is protecting you. They've got your back.
Yeah, it's now if you talk to 10 different coaches, you'll get 10 slightly different variations to how they approach Pubby, right? But honestly, doing things in the sense of that like looks natural, you know, leaving 2 to 3 reviews a week, that is at least reasonable within the human capability of someone who actually is an avid reader. Versus in the past, I think we could do like up to 8 in a week. Like when Pubby was like, you could do 8 reviews in a week and it was nuts. And a lot of people got their review capabilities banned because of it. Cause they went from doing literally leaving no reviews for nothing on Amazon to leaving 8 reviews a week on just books. Like that just looks weird. Right. So I think you're doing really good here. I think, I mean, 30K snaps at this point is equivalent to about 25 reviews. So you've already got 25 reviews practically guaranteed at the beginning of your launch, which is incredible. That's 25% of your way of your goal. And in the meantime, you're going to be getting more reviews and more snaps. So I don't see why you couldn't get up to 35, potentially 40 reviews between now and your launch from Pubby alone. And then just kind of stretch those out over the 30 days of your launch. Right. Turn in some Pubby points on day one and then turn in a few more and then turn in a few more and just kind of spread it out a little bit. So you're not trying to like just bombard everything at once. Now, this is coming from someone who has absolutely bombarded everything at once and gotten like 70 something reviews in a week from Pubby. So, and I didn't get nothing broke or anything. Right. But I just, even now looking back, I'm like, would not recommend going down that route. I should have spread that out, but I was so excited with all my snaps. I was like, let's go hard. Like, let's get as many reviews as possible. And I did, I got a lot of reviews, but just don't recommend it.
That's brilliant. Cody.
Look, I was way too, well, you know, when you're used to like building an email list or doing the Facebook method, and then Pubby comes out and you're like, what? I can get like 8 reviews a week. You know, so then your next book's coming out in like 4 or 8 weeks and you're like, oh my gosh, every single month I'm getting like 32 reviews worth. So by the time it's done, I've got like 60 reviews worth of Pubby points. And even during the launch, I was getting more. So, I mean, it was nuts. It was nuts.
Yeah. It's happy.
All right. That is all of our pre-submitted questions. We're going to go into our live Q&A questions, which there's only 9. So if you want to throw in a question.
That's a short one.
Now's the time. I think it's like a day after Thanksgiving stuff. It's like, especially like our big U.S. market was probably potentially up late last night doing Black Friday shopping. So there's some weird deals going on at 3 a.m. in the morning at a bunch of stores. And so people camp out and wait in line for hours in the cold. And I ain't about that life. Not about that.
Have you ever done that, Brandon? Like waited outside, you know, for something that's going on sale the next day. So you're there since 4 in the morning?
Honestly, no. I think in high school, I was like, you know, like the latest Call of Duty game or something. But
yeah, I've definitely done it with my family. My mom would drag us out and it'd be like 2 a.m., you know, and you're just like, oh, gosh, waiting outside some store so your mom can get like a rug, you know, and you're like, no, mom, Canada, please, please don't do it. I have spent 72 hours in a Chick-fil-A parking lot at a grand opening to get a year's supply of Chick-fil-A. And that was absolutely worth it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, worth it.
Now we had a camp out in their parking lot. Chick-fil-A is the greatest chicken sandwich fast food restaurant on the planet. It is so good. So if you ever come to the U.S., go find you a Chick-fil-A, get you a number one. And it's just good, right? It's not like, whoa, life-changing. It's just a really dang good chicken sandwich.
Okay.
And they opened up one in where I was going to college, and they were like, hey, camp out in front of our store during the grand opening for 3 days, and we'll give you a year supply of chicken sandwiches. And I was like, I'm a poor college student that could use a year supply of chicken sandwiches.
That's awesome.
So I did. I camped out there, and dude, it stormed, and I bought super cheap tent from Walmart that leaked, I had to throw away my sleeping bag because everything got wet. Gross. But made it through it.
Yeah.
All right. That aside, time to get into our live Q&A questions of the day. And I'll go ahead and start it off with.
Wait. I just have to say, I did camp out once for tickets for something, but yeah, it wasn't for food. It was for Star Wars movie tickets.
Yes, it was.
Episode 1. Because it was a long wait.
How long did you camp out?
5 days.
Oh my.
We were tent number 5 outside the cinema in Calgary. And then on the last night, and it's for the first showing, which is at midnight, well, 12:01. Right. That's when you go. And so then on that last night, then of course stormtroopers were out and Darth Vader was out serving hot drinks and that kind of thing. It was
golly.
Awesome. And we sat in the tent and we played the soundtrack from A New Hope. And then we read the book and we knew exactly where, you know, where the music stopped and the different sections. And it was great.
That's nuts. 5 days. Wow. Next level commitment. And you'll never forget it. You'll never forget that time. All right. That's fascinating. Sorry. All right. No, I think that was awesome. I have learned a new aspect of your determination and commitment. Moving on to, Mary Angel. Hi, good afternoon. I don't know how to research a book topic. I have ChatGPT and Katie Spy. Can you please explain how to create book topic? How many words should I use? What would be the best first? This sounds like you potentially haven't gone through the course lessons, right? Or when you went to topic research, you didn't go below that to the next video. Like there's like an overview video and it doesn't teach you anything, but there's lessons underneath that section that actually walk you through how to do it. Because literally every single question you just asked is answered in that process. So let's see. Mary Angel, are you still here? Cool. All right. Yep. You're still here. All right. I would highly recommend going back to module 2 and watching those lessons and then doing it as they do it, because they literally show you how to find book topics, how many words they literally how many words they should be, right? Which is, it depends. And then how to use Katie Spy to determine if they're worthwhile or not. All right, Haley, what you got?
I got, Wendy, if I want to do the 7-day challenge, do I need to have a business bank account to publish a book? No. The hard answer is no. However, you know, we do recommend that you you check things out with Prime Corporate Services, right? Prime Corporate Services offers our students a 45-minute free session so that you know right from the very beginning how to set up your business and do things appropriately. And Brandon probably has a code there that he can share with you that will help you with that. But the answer, Wendy, straight up, is no, you don't, not to get started. You can use your own personal account, and it is possible to change things afterwards.
100%. Brandon, what question you got?
All right. So I actually don't know if I have a code. I haven't checked. But if you guys want to drop them the link, that's cool too. So the question I have is, Kathy, I haven't been able to use Discord Midjourney. Discord doesn't interface with Midjourney. Is anyone else having this problem? Okay, let's see. How's the best way to go about this? So as you know, Discord is like a chat platform, right? And the Discord server is essentially just another chat that you're adding to there. So if you have your Discord account and then you go to the Midjourney website, you can actually link them together. And I can show you what it looks like. Let me know when you can see my screen here.
Sure can.
All right. So this is Discord here. I'm part of some random channels when it comes to NFTs and stuff. Super random. I literally went in here and exited like 10 of them because I was like, I'm no longer interested in pictures of toads for 20K. Anyway, so this is the Midjourney channel here. It's just like a chat, essentially. And then once you download that channel, you'll be able to type stuff in here and you'll be able to generate stuff. So I believe we do have a lesson that teaches you how to actually install it, but they do integrate it together. You just have to add the chat. You can come on this little plus sign. And you should be able to literally just search up Midjourney. And that's all you got to really do. Now, depending on where you are, you might have to pay for it. And in that case, you just go into the website and you can sign up for your subscription there.
Yeah, 100%. I think I watched a YouTube video, to be honest. Like, I was like, click to join, was invited to join, had to pay the $10 a month or whatever else, and then watched a YouTube video to make my own Midjourney server that I just ran on my own account. But yeah, I think you're like one YouTube video away from figuring all that out. Mm-hmm. Jack says, my LLC has been approved and I want to publish under it. Do you add LLC after the fact? Yeah, so you actually will add it to your KDP account information. So if you already created a KDP account and did your tax interview with your personal information, you're just going to go back in and replace your personal info with your LLC information. So instead of your name, it'll be your business name. Instead of your social security number, I'm assuming you're in the US since it's an LLC, then it's going to be your EIN number. Instead of your address, it's the business address. Instead of your banking account info, it's the business's bank account info. And then just hit save or submit. And after that, everything's under the business account information now. The other thing you'll need to do is do the exact same thing in ACX. So the same tax interview you did with KDP to publish books and eBooks, you got to go to ACX to do the same thing for your audiobooks. And the information will be the exact same. All right. Take it away, Haley.
All right. Donna. Oh, no. Yeah.
Dina.
All right. Donna's next. May I ask for comment on my developing title for my first 30K book? Sleep Mastery Unlocked. Unlock deep sleep, even if you're busy. The quick and easy guide to boost energy and transform attitudes, or Sleep Essentials for Busy People, Even Parents Unlock Deep Sleep. Even if you're busy, the fast track to mental strength, consistent quality rest, and energizing your life. Okay, the first thing I'm going to say is always try to avoid redundancies in your title and subtitle, because your book cover is very valuable real estate. So you want to use your space effectively and choose your words carefully. So I wouldn't double up on, the mastery or the word lock. You know, you have sleep mastery unlocked. Are you here, Dina? What do you have proof of concept for? Do you know what words you have? Like, what's your topic that you have proof of concept for? Because that's exactly what you need. Okay, sleep. Okay. So
might be a little broad.
Mm-hmm. Might be a little broad. I think you need to niche down just a little bit with that. Okay. And take a look at perhaps insomnia.
Yeah, because think about it this way, and this I see students do this a lot, and I've done this before, where you have a topic and you're like, okay, my POC is sleep. And then for whatever reason, you then venture into some other subtopic of that, which in your case is deep sleep, which is a completely different topic or a more specific topic. And then you didn't check POC on, are people looking for books about deep sleep? Right? Because you want to know, like you found three books in general about sleep, but I imagine there were maybe different topics about sleep or different demographics. In this case, you're going to want to go back to POC and just double check, because you might be working on a book that's going to make you no money. Or you might be working on a book that the market's not looking for, which in which case is going to be really hard to sell. The beauty of that is this is a good time to find out before you invest money into a writer, potentially an outline, formatting, a book cover. Like, you'd want to find out now, not later. So we can double check that.
Absolutely.
I got the next one here.
Take it away, Brandon.
For Donna.
You got it, Dina.
I am way behind. I finally have a topic that passes POC, but I'm unsure of what to do next. My topic is holiday activities around the world. I also had some banking issues that delayed purchase of ChatGPT, and now I can't find the link to purchase. All right. First things first. So the proof of concept, holiday activities around the world is not a topic, essentially, right? It's very vague, and it's not really speaking to anybody or anything necessarily. Like, if you were stuck on holiday activities, you can try testing holiday activities for teens, holiday activities for kids. But even that is super vague, right? Holidays, there's many holidays, and depending on where you live in the world, there's going to be different options, right? So we need to work a little bit more on the POC, go back to the lesson and try to find something that's more specific, right? And I think you have too many words in there. Holiday activities around the world, you don't necessarily need around the world, right? And it's not like you're going to make a book that's going to have every single holiday for every single country, right? So let's get a little bit more focused on there, very similar to the last question. But go back to the POC and try searching up topics that are only about one thing or are only for one certain demographic. And that's your best path to having something now, that's going to succeed.
Funny enough, there is a market for something very similar to this, but they're all kids illustrated books that are like 32 pages maximum.
So activity books or?
Yeah, either an activity book or it's a kid's illustrated book. That is like images, graphics, all that kind of stuff. Like the best-selling one, oddly enough, is like How Kids Celebrate Christmas Around the World. It's 32 pages. It is selling like hotcakes, but it's a children's book, not necessarily a full-length book.
And so it's focused on Christmas, right?
Yeah, a specific holiday. Yeah. There's also one that says Winter Holidays Around the World, not necessarily activities. But again, it's a shorter book. It's like 83 pages. So it looks like the niches here are very kids illustrated or activity books. And not necessarily something we would typically go into, because it'd be very illustration heavy and more potentially on the lower content side of things. And so, yeah, I would definitely go back, especially in the sense of like, we're already up on a big holiday season for a lot of countries around Christmas. And by the time this thing actually gets published, it'll be like January, February, March, you know, like you'll be out of season for a lot of these things. And that would be really disappointing to publish that book and have to wait like 6 months to start seeing sales again on that book. And so I would potentially, I would go find something else. As far as the ChatGPT stuff, you'll just have to work out the bank issues, unfortunately, to get access to that. Now there is a waiting list to get ChatGPT 4, which is the one you pay for. So just know that there is a waiting list for that, which is a bummer.
Wait lists.
I know. The moment I wanted to join, when you get access to like DALL-E 3 and stuff like that, and some of the more powerful tools, they were like, you have to get on a waiting list. And I was like, dang it, I knew I should have started this sooner. All right, Haley, take this question from Indy.
Andy, hello team. I joined the Academy last week and I'm completely new to writing and publishing. I've always wanted to write a book, hence my decision to join the Academy. I have specific interests in history, especially African history, marriage and business, entrepreneurship and spiritual contents. I haven't quite crafted a topic yet as I'm still doing the online courses. So I wanted to ask if my interests above are good enough for my first book. And if you were to pick one area of the three, which would it be for you? So it's not that simple. And it's great for welcome. You know, you're so fresh. Just keep working your way through and you need to work on those topics yourself. So once you feel like you have a topic that has proof of concept, which you will have learned all about in your lessons, if you have three that you can't choose from, then put them all up on your screen side by side. And up at the top, there will be a little space that says monthly revenue. And whichever one generates the most, as long as they all have proof of concept, go with the one that's making the most money. If you're torn, that would be how I approach it, because it wouldn't be a passion thing for me. So it would just, I would just be looking at the viability of each topic. So that would be what I suggest you do.
Yep, I agree. If it has POC, great. You have a win-win because you have an interest area that aligns with being profitable. If not, you're going to want to make a decision on whether or not passion over profits is more important or profits over passion. And then that'll kind of help gear you in the right direction. Brandon, what does Janice have for us?
All right. So what are your thoughts about letting the ultimate, what does it stand for again? I forget.
The urban writers, the ultimate writers.
The ultimate ghost writers. blank.
Ultimate wrestlers.
There's so many of them. Oh my goodness. What are your thoughts about letting them utilize ChatGPT when we pay for the ghostwriter's personal style and expertise? Now, every coach is going to have a slightly different stance on this. I'm a little bit of a ChatGPT hater. I will not let writers use it. Yeah, no. If it comes to like research and stuff, like I don't have a problem at all. It's just a tool depending on how you use it. But the way I'll do my outlines is researched enough to the point where I want them to write. I don't want them to find other sources because I know what's on that outline, right? So great tool, but then again, it's just a tool. So it depends how you use it. I like it for research. For writing, it's just not exactly there yet. And you're kind of right. You're right in the sense that you're probably hiring someone for a specific writing style. And
yeah, there's like three options. Baby. Yeah, there's like three different options there. The one I actually don't mind is the one where it says like to brainstorm ideas or to how to articulate something. I'm like,
no, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, I would do that. I would absolutely do that. But the one where it's like to generate content using ChatGPT and you're like, no. Negative ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Nope. Ronnie says, I submitted two questions about an hour before class. I guess they will be on the next call potentially. If you didn't see them during the slides, they didn't make it in time when I was making the slides.
Tammy, hello all. I have seen talk about people getting in trouble with KDP for signing in multiple locations. I'm worried because I travel often during the first part of the year. I'd like to work while I'm away from home, but is this not recommended? I work from KDP from all different places, and I've never had a problem. I mean, you can use a VPN, and I did that for the first year. I was just so careful. And some coaches, Mr. Chang, he's very, very particular about how he does that. So I would just if you want to use a VPN, you can do that so that you're signing in from the same place all the time, wherever you go. Right. That's one way to go. But for the most part, I think it's very rare that anybody has an issue. Cody, is that something that you've heard of? Like
not
a lot?
As far as, yeah, not versus like locations, only multiple accounts have I ever seen an issue with that. Multiple locations. No, because typically they're going to have two-step verification anyway, which is why they like you log in from a new location. They're like, hey, we just sent you a verification code to your email and or phone number. And then you put that in. So it I don't think there should be a big issue about that.
I've heard of that from different platforms. And it's interesting that you mentioned that Brian mentioned it, because everyone that I know that runs ads like on a high level on Facebook and stuff, they all say the same thing. VPN, VPN always. But KDP itself, I don't think so.
So Tammy, you're asking about staying on your own hotspot. When I travel, I use my own hotspot. So I only use my phone. So I keep scads of data on my phone. And so when I travel, I only hotspot for my phone. Yeah. Or Tether.
It's on my throat. I'm losing my voice, people. It's gone. Slowly but surely. All right. AB Bray or Ab Bray. Does your puppy reviews automatically load to Amazon? Interesting enough, you actually don't ever load a review to puppy. Like, it's actually done outside of puppy. And so when you go to review a book that's from puppy, you actually go and review it on Amazon and then go back to puppy and say, I left a review. Here's my star rating. Here's the name I left it under. And then a third person who actually works for puppy actually goes and verifies it was submitted before granting you your points. Technically, you get your points automatically, but they can take them away. Like, there was a time where like one of my reviews didn't show up and I had negative puppy points because I'd already used them and turned them in, and they were like, hey, we can't verify this review, and they like took my points away. So I had like negative 600 points. Luckily it just hadn't showed up yet, so I could show like, hey, it's there. But I did go to the negative for a little bit there.
Can I add to just the puppy thing? Just for anybody who's getting rolling with puppy, if you are outside the United States when you're using puppy, make sure that you buy the book from the site, you know, the country that you're buying from regularly. So if you're in Canada, buy it from .ca. I buy from .co.uk, and then that's where I go back to leave the review. So just make sure that's consistent, because that's where they go to check and confirm and make sure that you don't go into negative puppy points or snaps.
That's great advice.
Speaking of great advice, Haley, take away this next question.
Gina, I published a book 14 years ago that I've been considering revamping and expanding under a different publishing name. Can I revisit it under my new publishing name with an amended title to address the new info? You can, of course. But the thing is, Dina, you would have to unpublish it if you want to do those things. So if you're changing the author name or the title or subtitle, then you need to unpublish the book and then change everything and then republish it. So if it's just quiet, it's not really doing anything, take advantage of it and revamp it. Revamp the cover, make sure the title is sassy and as close to POC as you can make it, and change the name and apply the course principles to it as closely as you can. Great.
I got the next one here for Ronnie. Are there paid services to get ethical reviews? Now, if we're talking about services, right? Puppy is the one that we recommend because we know how they work, right? As far as other services, there are more. We just can't vouch for them that they're going to be following the same, the Amazon rules and stuff, right? But as far as getting more authentic reviews, there's many, many ways, right? There's many ways you can keep going with the Facebook review method. You can tap into your personal network. You can tap into your community, local libraries, local communities, right? So, but if you're looking for something that's paid service and you know that it's going to work, it's Pubby is the one that we stand behind.
Brandon, do you know any paid services to get unethical reviews?
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, just curious.
There's a lot of unethical.
Yeah, there's a ton.
Review services.
Yeah. There was more in the past, like 2014 and 15, back in the Wild West of self-publishing and getting reviews, like farming hundreds of reviews to like a third party. Like, dude, it was bad.
Wild West.
No doubt. All right, Haley, what you got, Ronnie, for Ronnie?
Ronnie, why would anyone choose the 30% royalty instead of 70%? Explain the royalty program on KDP, please. So the 70% is where you start, right? I'm sorry. The 30% is where you start. It's the safe place for you to begin while your book is generating sales and reviews, right? And once it gets to a certain point, then you move it up to the 70%, and then your book will be increased in price in tandem with that, and then you'll maximize that 70%.
Yeah, 100%. It's mm-hmm. basically dictated by the price of your ebook. You know, most ebooks get launched at 99 cents, which requires a 30% royalty. Anything below $2.99, 30% royalties. Anything above $9.99, 30% royalties, right? And then the sweet spot between those two numbers, between $2.99 and $9.99, 70% royalties. So you're like, why? That's just Amazon's way of pushing you to get it within that price point.
Yeah.
Basically, right? They're like, get it up, move it up to these prices. But typically we launch at 99 cents, so we're okay with getting 30% royalties.
Absolutely. Thanks, Cody.
Question from Wendy. If I don't want to use my real name, how do I get a pen name? It's really, really hard. You have to apply to Congress for it, and it's the worst. And then you have to make sure it's a name that's never been used before. Like my name, my pen name is Quasi Firehammer. And almost didn't get passed. So I'm just kidding. It is the easiest thing ever. Yeah, you make it up. You literally just make it up. So like whatever you want, like you just make up a pen name. And then was there actually a course lesson on it to like go and check to make sure like there's just not a bunch of authors already using your pen name. So you can just tweak it. So at least you're at least somewhat unique on Amazon and easier to find in case like your books do like really, really well and people start searching for your name. But yeah, you just make it up. There's even an online pen name generator by Readzy that you can just click a button and it'll be like, here you go. How about that one? Nope. Not this one. No. How about this one? This one? How about that one? Nope. Okay. How about this one? This one? How about
that one? It's so much fun.
So like, yeah, just it can literally be just about whatever you want. Just don't pick anyone famous. Just don't do it. Don't pick things that are potentially trademarked. Do a trademark search, you know, be smart about it. But other than that, it's practically unlimited.
And just to add to that, Wendy, once you go publish your book, right? So there's going to be a box there and you just type in whatever pen name you want. Just make sure it matches with whatever you got it designed with on your cover and you're good to go. So very easy.
All right, Haley, what do you have for Patrick?
Please, coaches. I have already published my book on Amazon a couple of months ago with paperback trim size 5x8, but I want to change to 6x9, but Amazon says you can't change trim size once your book is published. Please, any help? Thanks. So just cover your bases and contact Amazon and say, you know, you don't want to unpublish your book. You just want to change the trim size. Can you please do this? And they'll guide you through it. I don't see any reason why you can't do that because you're not changing really any of the metadata. You're just changing the size of the book. So as long as you cover your bases and you say, this is what I would like to do, once they have okay, then you can just upload the new size. You don't have to change anything that's there. You just upload the new size and then, well, go in and change and say, this is what the size is going to be. And then once it's approved, it will go live.
Yeah, it's a pain. It's a painful process, only because you end up having to unpublish and then republish. And, you know, if you don't have a whole lot of reviews at this point, no harm, no foul. If you got a ton of reviews, you're going to want to try to get all those reviews associated with your ebook, so that when you unpublish your paperback and unlink it and republish the new paperback with the new trim size and the new formatting file, then you ask Amazon to link those together. So a little bit of a pain, but if you can make it work, why not?
Yeah.
That's everything. That was all the questions at 12:10 my time. So like 50 minutes to go, guys, and we don't have a single question left. Never happened before. Never happened before. Maybe our questions were so good. Our answers were so good. They were like, you answered everything. We have nothing left. We have all the tools we need to publish our best-selling book. So yes. Cool. Well, if you guys have any other publishing questions, take it away. If we don't have anything coming up here soon,
I guess I've got one for you. Throw one in. And this is one that I had from a student today.
What you got?
And this was, you know, they're publishing a book, and it's, you know, it's geared towards seniors, and they want to, they want to create a spiral book for it as well. So of course I explained, no, you can't do that on KDP. Mm. You know, you can't offer that option on KDP.
Yep.
So how do you feel about that? What's your take on what they should
do? They would need to go to Lulu, printing through Lulu, which actually surprisingly has a print on demand spiral bound option.
Okay.
And they will have to, it's not the cheapest, right? But it's also not unaffordable if someone really wants that.
Okay.
And you can still link that to your book on Amazon. Now, I have never done it before, right? But I think it is something I do want to test out to see. I don't know if Lulu has a fee that they charge.
Okay.
To upload a book to Lulu. It may be free. So if you can do the whole process free, that's awesome. But I would expect there to be a new formatting fee to get it formatted for the spiral bound, depending on the trim size, the templates they have, and things of that sort. So there will be a learning curve at that. But if they really want to go down that route, there is an option for print on demand.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's great. Anthony, I am educated.
Yeah. Anthony has a question here. He says, my grandpa has a few books by him that are paperback, but not on Audible yet. I want to help him get his books out and reviewed, maybe even a bundle. Should I do this under my publishing account or make him one? Anthony, they're published to Amazon, right? These paperbacks, are they published to Amazon? Wait for Anthony to answer that. Because it depends on kind of where it's currently at. That's going to depict how I would suggest going about that. Like, so if they're published on an Amazon and whatever else, I would not have you publish those on your account. I would keep everything on his stuff, you know, but if it's like stuff that's not even in circulation anymore, right? It shouldn't be an issue of you publishing it to your account and then publishing it to Audible. Otherwise you could run into a plagiarism algorithm check, which would be a pain in the butt. To try and convince Amazon that you weren't trying to plagiarize your own grandfather. Let's see. Kathy. Can you, Brandon, can you quickly answer Kathy's question about the Discord Midjourney stuff?
I'm not seeing Kathy's question here.
It's in the chat, actually.
No, it's just a host and panelist. Can you see it, Brandon?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, there we go. Okay, the Discord Midjourney. Great. So we can definitely go over it again. Essentially, Discord is just a messaging platform, and you can add different servers, and Midjourney is just one of those servers. It's kind of a weird setup. It can be a little bit tricky, but honestly, I think the best way is head over to Google and just say connect, you know, how to use Midjourney, and you'll be able to kind of follow the steps there. Earlier, I kind of showed, but it's not that helpful just showing you mine with the Mid Journey there. It's kind of better to see how it gets added on there. But yeah, it's essentially an app that goes within the Discord app. And all you got to do is make sure you have a Discord account and then go over to Mid Journey, sign up for your plan, and then you go onto your Discord account and it's going to be there. You'll see it.
Kathy, you can go back and watch the recording of this as well. And then you can just fast forward to that bit where Brandon was sharing his screen and he showed exactly what you need to do. So that bit will still be there for you for the visual end of it as well.
Could even bring it up right now quickly.
Okay.
All right, so it's just a little bit slow. And I just want to show you where, like, how to know if you're actually connected to Mid Journey. Because one thing is getting it on your Discord, and then you're going to have to sign up for the plan, which is a link that they give you on the channel on these messages. Well, while this loads, you guys could move on to there we go. So these are different channels I'm a part of. Mid Journey is this little sailboat right here. Once you click into it, go to the first Getting Started tab, and it's going to give you a rundown on how to actually generate these images and what's going on here. But as long as you have a Discord account and you see this, you're good. And to get that there, either press this little plus sign or just head over straight to the Mid Journey website, and you'll be able to link it from there once you sign up for your plan.
Yeah, I know on my end, it's like when I first... No, not necessarily, but I know when I first joined, it brought me to this.
Same.
Right. So
were you already a Discord member?
I had a Discord account, but like this is where it brought me to at first. So then I had to sit there and like click join the beta.
Oh, okay.
And it was like accept invite. Even though I've already accepted the invite, this is how I found myself getting into it. And then it brought me into Mid Journey.
Yeah, I did my backwards. I just searched it up straight from Discord, and then I went back to Mid Journey to activate my plan.
That probably is the easiest way to go about it, to be honest.
I liked your way, man. That looked easier.
Yeah. So, and that was from Google. Like, I searched. I was like Discord Mid Journey, and then it took me to that. And then I was like, join the beta, and then it was like invitation, accept, and then from there it was like, hey, fork over them dollars, but. Everything from like getting started is all here. So like even once you get to the getting started, for those who are brand new to this, just start at the getting starting tab and just read it. Like just go through like everything from paying for it to getting started, right? All of it's there. Right.
Yeah. Great YouTube guides on it to get all this stuff done.
A bunch of great YouTube guides on it. Let's see. Or just use Dolly.
If you have a membership already, then that's great. Just when you were saying also, Cody, about the terms of service for Dolly with the images, on their own site, on the OpenAI site, it says, like, subject to the content policy and terms, you own the images you create with Dolly. Including the right to reprint, sell, and merchandise. So, and that's on the OpenAI site, something to keep in mind.
Cool. But does it,
you can get in.
Does it change if you stop paying for it?
Well, you don't have access anymore if you stop paying for it.
I mean, let's say you made a book cover with it, right? So you have access to the image because you just copied it or whatever else.
Yeah, because it's already been generated. Yeah.
Because that's the word I keep hearing now is like, if you stop paying for their services, those copyright privileges go away. And so then that's what I'm trying to figure out is like, what's the finer detail of that? And I'm probably just literally going to have ChatGPT read their terms of service and spell it out for me so I don't have to read all of it. Just to give me an executive summary of what this means. So then, because I'd hate to kind of have to be almost a slave to their subscription model forever for the eternity of my book to maintain copyright privileges to it. And if that's not the case, you're like, awesome, go wild.
Yeah.
But I always want to make sure, because I would hate to give students a false sense of security on that. But I'll figure it out.
I did when I checked with them, and this is how I kept rechecking with ChatGPT, anything that I could use that was generated in ChatGPT. As soon as you can download that image, because it offer every time you create an image, it gives you the option to download it. Right. And then it's yours to do with as you choose, whether or not you still have the account or not. You purchased that, you used that when you were availing of their service. So it's just like anything else that you buy. If you buy an outfit, if you're not gathering points from a store, they don't have your email address anymore, you can still wear the outfit that you bought.
Could you imagine technology getting to a place where you stop paying for those things and then the clothes literally transport themselves back to the warehouse? You're just out and about eating a corn dog, living your best life, and your clothes, the time hits and your clothes are gone. They're gone. And you're just like, there's like, done. And you're like, oh no. And you're looking for fig leaves. That'd be rough. Gosh, that would be rough.
I could eat a corn dog. I could eat a corn dog right now.
Corn dogs are good. I like corn dogs.
Mustard.
All right. I'm going to answer the other half of Anthony's question, who says, also need help with LLC or EIN. Haley, do you have your Prime Corporate Services link?
Do.
Can you just give that out?
I will.
We normally don't get to give it out on AIA calls, but for the sake of you asking for LLC help, we will give you a link to where you can go talk to our partner program, our partners at Prime Corporate Services. And this is what they do. They help with LLCs, EIN numbers, structuring businesses, business credits. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, let's go to Dina's question. Another question. Lawrence put this question up in front of a republishing question. Instead of unpublishing a book, why not call it a new edition? Any thoughts? Potentially. That could be an option. Just to publish the second edition of the book under a new ISBN number. Potentially that could work. I still would want to look at whether or not Amazon would potentially still catch that as plagiarism, it being on separate accounts or whatever else, but that could very well be an option to go forth and try it out.
Darren, he says, many moons ago, Coach Dan from the Ollie and Dan Q&A went through some issues with setting up his KDP account and having to go through issues related to using an LLC. Do you have any quick tips? And this is basically what Cody has just covered. And again, the link is in the chat, you know, if you want to go in and
I don't remember what issues Dan ran into. I feel like I remember some discussions on that on the back end of things, but I don't remember exact, because Dan was doing a lot of stuff at once. Dan was trying to set up and get his brand associate brand account made so he could do video reviews.
That's what it was. It was switching, I think, to the brand.
It was. So he was, it was brand registry, which is a very long and lengthy process, which can be a pain. And he was trying to do that because if you're on Amazon, you've seen those like sponsored ads where it's like a video. He wanted that for his books, which we don't have access to, but you do if you have a brand registration account. So he was trying to get that set up so he could run those type of ads. And it was a pain. It was a pain. And I still don't think he was successful at getting it completely made. Charles says, how do I get access to the accelerator program? Jump on a success call. It's in module 1. You can sign up for that. Or I believe in your module dashboard, there's like an icon on the right-hand side where it'll say like interested in the accelerator program or whatever else, where you can sign up there and find out more if that program's right for you. Wendy, once I choose a pen name, how do I know it's been used or getting into trademark issues? One, do a trademark search on it, just like we teach you to do with topics in module 2. And the second thing would be just to search for the name on Amazon under books and see what authors show up. And that's it. That's basically all there is. If you, those two places check out, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post the link here for the trademark shirt search.
Oh, that's great, Brandon.
Got it.
Deborah says, can we use an existing LLC? Talk to your CPA. Depends on how your LLC is structured and like what industry it's paid for. And it may be set up in a way where you don't actually want to link those two industries together, right? In the sense of like legalities and whatever else. Like you wouldn't want something bad happen to one business and then it flows into the other business, right? And vice versa. So there would be some instances where you would not want to use an existing LLC that's actually meant for something else. In some cases, you may want to. I don't know. You are so welcome, Dina and or Dinah and or another way to pronounce it that I'm getting wrong. Well, pretty confident with Dina, but I've messed up easier. All right, cool. Oh, Dina, like Tina. Yeah, awesome. Fantastic. Dina. Well, shucks, that's basically it. Thank you all for joining us today on the Q&A call. This is the shortest Q&A call. Of course, it's the only Q&A call I've ever had to do after Thanksgiving. So
yeah.
I think last time we just canceled them. But super excited that you guys were all here. Hope you got a lot out of today's Q&A call as far as questions, insights, and everything else. Hope you had a phenomenal Thanksgiving yesterday. What else?
We got one more question.
Oh, where?
How do we know who our coach is and how can we talk with them?
Are you a PA student?
Yes. Sure about that.
It would depend. So, Susan, are you a PA student? Like you signed up for Publishing Accelerator? If not, if you just bought AIA, then, oh, okay, yeah, then there's no coach to sign up for yet. But if you sign up for Publishing Accelerator, you will be assigned a coach. So you're good. Just starting out, great. Follow the module lessons. Just get in it, get after it. You're going to do great. With that, have a great week, everyone. If I don't see you between now and whenever, have a great weekend and a great week ahead. And we'll see you guys next time during the Friday Q&A call. Bye, Haley. Bye, Brandon.
That's awesome. Thanks, you guys. Take care. Have a great weekend. Happy leftovers.